The talk you're about to hear was not recorded in my home parish at Holy Comforter. I had the deacons preaching this weekend in the home parish, but I went out in the afternoon for this octave of Easter and spoke to or celebrated Mass with the Legion of Mary. And the Legion of Mary is a group here, well, they're a worldwide group, but our particular group here in Washington is a very international group. I had quite a United Nations of Catholicism in front of me, about 300 people, and people from Korea, from Africa, from many, many Latinos from all over Central and South America, the white Americans, and just a whole collection of people from, as I say, from all over the world. And the Legion of Mary, the particular work that they do is to go door to door and announce Jesus Christ two by two. And so it's in that context that I gave this sermon, speaking about the need to bring people back into the life of the church. And it's a meditation on this gospel for the second Sunday of Easter, wherein Thomas was absent and missed seeing the risen Lord and doubted the testimony of the church. And yet at least found himself back and eventually was rebuked by the Lord, but shown the Lord in risen glory and rebuked that he should, be like those who are don't see and yet still believe. So, again, this is the Legion of Mary. That's the context in which this sermon is given.
You know, when you look at these readings, there's a lot of faith, if you will, in the importance of the church and of being gathered together as the church. There is a emphasis. For example, at the beginning of this first reading from Acts, it says they devoted themselves. Notice now, they devoted themselves. It didn't just mean they were sort of vaguely attached to. It says they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles and to the communal life, to the breaking of the bread and the prayers. Four basic pillars of life in the early church. Again, the teaching of the apostles, we've come to call them the Gospels. We would add to that Paul's letters and some of the other epistles that we call all that part of the New Testament. The teaching of the apostles. We say every Sunday in church that we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We hold to the teaching of the apostles. That's the first pillar. To the communal life. They came together. They were devoted to meeting together. The book of Hebrews says that we are not to neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some. But we are to gather all the more, considering the days that are at hand. And so again, to be devoted to coming together in community. To gathering as a church every Sunday on the Lord's Day. And even more often, where that's required and necessary for the sake of the life of the church. You want to say you're a Bible-believing Christian? Well, first of all, be rooted in the apostolic teaching. Secondly, be devoted to the communal life. An awful lot of people say, well, it doesn't matter if I go to church or not. Yes, it does. The Scriptures themselves attest to the importance of being in God's house. The Lord says in the Ten Commandments, keep holy the Sabbath, which for us as Christians now is observed on Sunday. Likewise, Jesus warns us in John 6 and verse 53 that unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And so that leads us to the next thing here, which says not only were they devoted to the teaching of the apostles and the communal life, but they were devoted to the breaking of the bread. Now, the breaking of the bread, not breaking, merely breaking bread, that could be just any meal, but the breaking of the bread is a biblical expression for the Eucharist, for the Holy Communion. And the Lord, you see, wants to feed us on His body and blood. He wants to feed us because, again, He said, unless, and it's a strong word now, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. John 6, verse 53, memorize that verse. Because many of you, I know, many of us, have family members and friends that are staying away from Holy Communion, who are not attending church, who think, well, what's the big deal? Why do I need to go? And that's the reason. The breaking of the bread. We must eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, or we have no life in us. To receive Holy Communion is essential for us. Anyone who claims to be a Bible-believing Christian without a lively faith in the necessity of Holy Communion hasn't read this text. One of the four pillars was the breaking of the bread. Now, not only therefore the teaching of the apostles, the communal life, the breaking of the bread, but also the prayers. Just as we just concluded all the different prayers that we say as a community and also as individuals, we've got to be devoted to prayer. Prayer should be the most central thing in our life. The first thing we do when we arise and the last thing we do before we go to bed. Prayer. Being in communion with God, in living conscious contact with God at every moment of our day. But again, notice the emphasis on being part of a church community. Now, Thomas, in the Gospel today, starts out by being absent from that community. He's absent. And what happens? Everything. But Thomas misses it all. The Lord appears to them and says, "Peace be with you." And He gave them the authority to forgive sins. We'll talk about that in a minute. The Lord showed Himself to them alive and said, "Peace be with you." And gave them the authority to forgive sins. And brothers and sisters, Thomas missed all of that because he was absent from the community on the first day of the week. Isn't that what we miss if we miss Sunday Mass? Isn't that what many of our brothers and sisters are missing who don't come today to Sunday Mass? The Lord standing in our midst, ministering to us, and saying, "Peace be with you." There is now peace, shalom, between you and me, between you and my Father. There is peace. What is the sacred liturgy? What is the Mass? Is it just a ritual that we go through? No, here's what it is. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them, says the Lord. And so guess what? As we gather on Sunday morning, the priest stands at the back. And suddenly the congregation arises to sing a hymn of praise. Not to the priest, but to whom the priest represents, Jesus Christ, who is in our midst to minister to us. And Jesus Christ walks the aisle of this church, and Jesus Christ steps up to this altar. He steps to this place and breaks open a word for us, teaches us out of the teaching of the apostles, preaches a sermon. Pray for your preachers. The Lord is using me right now to speak to you. I say that with humility. Just pray that I get out of the way. But it is the Lord who is speaking to you in this liturgy. Not Father Lely or myself. It is Jesus who is ministering to you. It is He who is standing here right now. I grew the beard for an audiovisual aid. But it's the Lord. And in just a few moments, the Lord is going to stand at this altar, take bread and take wine, and say, "This is my body. This is my blood." And the Lord will come and stand here and feed you with His body and blood in the Eucharist, the Holy Communion. What do we miss when we, like Thomas, are absent from the assembly? We miss the risen Lord standing in our midst and ministering to us and saying to us, "Peace be with you." Thomas missed everything. everything that's important. He missed it all. And not only did Thomas refuse to gather with the church, but Thomas also refused to believe the testimony of the church. You see, we as Catholics believe very firmly that the church teaches us solemnly in matters of faith and morals, and that we are obliged to put our faith in what the Lord teaches us through His church. Isn't that what we say in the Creed every Sunday? I believe in one God, who is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But we don't end the creed there. We go on to say, I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. That is to say that the church is an object of faith. Not because it has smart human beings in it, but because the Holy Spirit dwells in the church. The Holy Spirit teaches through the authority of the church. God has set up His church to testify to us about the truth. The truth that Jesus is risen, that He is Lord, that His Father is God of all creation, and that there is only one God, but three persons in that one God, that Jesus Christ has saved us from our sins, that Jesus Christ has risen gloriously from the dead, that He's at the Father's right hand, where He's praying for us right now, and that He has given us a completely transformed life to live. This is the testimony of the church. And we are called to believe it. But Thomas said, no, I will not accept the testimony of the church that He is risen. I will not accept that testimony. So Thomas, you see, is like many people today, isn't he? Perhaps some of us, whether in the past or maybe even some in this church today, who do not confess their need to gather every Sunday with the church community for the breaking of the bread. Who do not confess their need to listen and to obey the voice of God speaking through the church. Many people are like Thomas today. Perhaps some here, but many outside the doors of this church. Brothers and sisters, 70% of Catholics don't go to Mass anymore. The largest denomination in this country is the Roman Catholic Church, by far. We have almost 70 million Catholics in this country. No other Protestant denomination comes even close to us in terms of numbers. And you know what the second largest church in this country is? Unchurched Catholics. Those who don't go to Mass. It is a great tragedy that only 30% of us find our way to church on Sunday. And that many people who call themselves Catholics refuse to accept the testimony of the church that we come to faith in the teachings that the Lord has given us. Whether about His resurrection or about theological matters or about moral matters. God has set forth His church to speak His word. And we need to listen and heed the voice of the church. The testimony of the church. But thanks be to God, Thomas makes something of a recovery. Because the next Sunday, Thomas does gather with the community. 8 days later, after the resurrection, this very Sunday, Thomas this time is with the community. It's all right to say praise the Lord. He's there with him, with the brothers. And again, what happens? Sure enough, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The Lord Jesus appears. And this time, Thomas can hear the Lord say, peace be with you. Now, there are many things I have to say about Thomas that I don't have time to say. But let me just say one thing in passing. You notice how Thomas demands, he doesn't want to accept the testimony of the church. He says, I demand to see with my own eyes, to touch with my own hands. And brothers and sisters, in a way what Thomas is saying is that I demand to see as my flesh demands to see. And brothers and sisters, in a few minutes we're going to see the Lord. Behold the Lamb of God. But you will not see as your flesh demands to see. But you will see the Lord as your spirit can see. through this testimony of the church, that it is not ordinary bread you are looking at, that it is in fact the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And now the Lord has to say to Thomas, Thomas, you demand to see the way your flesh demands to see, with your five senses. But I'm telling you right now, Thomas, I'm calling people to a different kind of a vision. A vision that comes from faith. A vision that comes from those who accept the testimony of the church that I'm alive. Those who have never seen me with their earthly eyes, but can see me with the eyes of their heart and through the eyes of faith. That's the souls that I'm after, Thomas. And that's us who are here today. We have not seen the Lord with our earthly eyes, but with the eyes of faith, we do see Him. At work in our lives, in the Eucharist we're about to receive, in the community gathered, in our loved ones, in the needy people that we encounter, we see the Lord. Only faith can give that vision. Now, brothers and sisters who are of the Legion of Mary, what does all of this have to do with our celebration today? Well, we're in accies, meaning battle lines. We're lined up to recommit ourselves to Mother Mary for the evangelical purpose of announcing Jesus Christ to the world, of being the voice of the church testifying in the world today. And just as Mary held up Jesus for the world to see at His birth and held the body of Christ on her lap at the foot of the cross, just as Mary did that, we must continue to do the same. There are many out there like Thomas who refuse to believe except on their own terms. There are many out there who have sent themselves, who are not present among us on Sunday, although they ought to be. And we, who have lined up in battle lines in a kind of a battle formation, have a war to wage against the confusion of Satan that's in the world today. We have a victory to win, to bring many souls back to Christ, to announce Jesus Christ, and to bring people back into the loving embrace of the Lord and of His bride, the church. Many are trying to live without sacraments, without prayer. Many are trying to live apart from the church. Pope Benedict has noted that many people today live their lives as though God did not exist. They don't deny His existence. They're not necessarily atheists, but they simply live in a way that is almost completely forgetful of God. Far from the heart of the Lord, far from the church, far from the ministry of the sacraments. They don't think they need confession, even though in this gospel today, the Lord gives confession to the church. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you retain, they're retained. What an awesome power to give to the church and to bring people back to a lively faith that they need forgiveness for their sins and that that forgiveness is available to them in the Catholic Church through the ministry of the priests. Oh, we have a lot of explaining to do, a lot of teaching to give. There's a battle to be fought for the hearts and minds of many who have strayed away or who never heard the truth authentically proclaimed. Who have never heard, for example, that the church teaches even to this day that it is a mortal sin to miss Mass on Sunday. Many of our younger people have never heard this teaching. And yet it follows, doesn't it? Because unless we eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, we have no life in us. It is a mortal, a very grave sin to starve ourselves spiritually to death. We need God's mercy. We need the Holy Eucharist. We need the sacrament of baptism and of confirmation, of Eucharist, of confession, of holy matrimony, of the priesthood. We need these sacraments of anointing of the sick, confession. We need them. And apart from them, we're not even alive. And so you who are members of the Legion of Mary, I simply say to you, as I said to you many years before, this is a good fight. It's a fight worth fighting. It's an old saying that if you find a good fight, get in it. Many need to be brought back to the life of the church. Maybe they were baptized Catholic, but they're far away now. Maybe some have never been baptized, have never been part of the church, were never raised Catholic, but there are so many souls out in the world today, and God bless you who stand at metro stops, who go to the county fair. God bless all of you who go door to door, two by two. It's a worthy fight to once again remind people that God exists, and that He's formed a holy communion called the church, and that He wants people to come together to be instructed by the church through His holy word and through the teachings of the church. And He wants to minister to them in that church through the sacraments. It is a worthy fight. And if we don't take up that battle, some may be lost forever. May never find their way to glory. Pope Paul VI, I'll just conclude with the thought. Pope Paul VI, many years ago, said he sometimes gets questions about, were those who never became Christian, will they not be saved? And Paul VI said, you know, he said, the question rather is not will they be saved, but can we be saved for having failed to preach to them? Today you rededicated yourself to this evangelical work of bringing the message of Jesus Christ to this world. You committed yourself to Mary's care. You recommitted yourself. And today, just know, this work is urgent. Souls are being lost. Souls are going toward hell. And if we don't turn and stop them, and exhort them to turn back to Christ, they may be lost forever. They asked the Lord, are they who are to be saved, many or few? And the Lord said, the road to damnation is wide, and many follow it. How narrow is the road to salvation, and how few there are who find it. An urgent task awaits us outside the doors of this church. If you find a good fight, get in it. I'm glad we're here in battle lines today, because this is a worthy battle. A battle for souls. A battle to bring people back to Jesus Christ. Amen.